Hey, sans Faison, it's Jorgen Sonnenberg here with the Employee Branding Podcast, coming to you live from Camden Town High Street. This week, we're going to tackle recruitment marketing, and I've spoken to an old dear friend of mine, Lisa Jones. Let's hear the interview. Lisa Jones, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Jorgen. How are you?
Very good. Tell us about Barclay Jones and what do you do there, please?
Thank you very much for the kind introduction to our brand. So the three bits that we do, and we work mainly for recruitment agencies within the UK and in the environment. Mm-hmm. We work on recruitment technology projects. So at any given time, our project managers will be in a recruitment agency helping them improve their technology, whether it be CRM, job boards, timesheets, all of that lovely stuff. We also have a recruiter success model where we work with recruiters on their I suppose, effective use of systems, social media marketing. So we might be doing LinkedIn training, adverts training, all that kind of thing, as well as Bullhorn, Bond, Broadbean. And we have a recruitment marketing academy where I myself mentor and coach marketers of all levels, be they global heads of marketing right down to the teams that they run, on how to deliver ROI back into recruitment.
Great. Okay, so how did you get into this? So the recruitment agency space, or staffing firms, as we say in North America. What's your background?
So I joined recruitment in 2000 as an IT director, and my job really was to radically transform the business that I worked for. There's about 150 to 200 recruiters, and my job was to implement technology into the business, which we did relatively quickly. And overnight, we saw an increase back then in the good old days of around 3K per person per month as a result of implementing technology in a strategic way. And we were delighted to win a national award, beating the likes of the big banks like Royal Bank of Scotland and HSBC, et cetera, to deliver that model. So that's kind of how we got into recruitment and tech. And then from that point onwards, I started Barclay Jones in 2008, right in the middle of a recession. Great time to start. Makes you extremely resilient, maybe, and positive is one way of putting it. And very rapidly realized that social media and digital was a technology, not just something you can hug and send a tweet about. So before we knew it, we were working exclusively with recruitment agencies to help them understand how to brand, how to market, how to systematize, and ultimately how to improve their business processes and profit through tech.
So tech is the savior for the recruitment industry. So one day AI will be completely profitable and we don't need people anymore. Is that right?
No, I don't believe that at all. I was talking to someone this morning about my latest blog, which I say my latest blog, it's a concept at the moment, so I probably need to patent it, called The Coolest Tool is the Recruiter. Because I think we're drowning in tech. There's not enough process. There's not enough phone calls. And as much as I'm a techie and I'll be regularly bumping into people walking down the street because I'm not looking where I'm going because I'm far too busy reading on my phone, I do believe that we need to re-engage from a conversation perspective. And I was running a marketing workshop yesterday for a group of IT recruiters who told me that marketing isn't something they were interested in. And I said, well, who makes your sales plans then? Who goes to your sales meetings? And before we'd finished the module, they actually agreed that, hold on a minute, sales is marketing. And, you know, I'm very passionate about marketing is also technology. And, you know, if you're into running, you know how to improve your speed. And every now and again, you'll run really fast. It's called a fartlek. Thought I'd get that in on the podcast as a dare to one of my team. And what I see marketing as is the odd fartlek just to basically improve sales. And it should be implemented throughout all sales processes, especially in recruitment, where you're trading with humans and for humans.
Yeah, and I might add that fartlek is a Swedish word meaning speed game. Now, also, I should mention regarding blogging that you are you're one of the best bloggers on the undercover recruiter side. You've been blogging for ages there, and we really appreciate your contribution. So check Lisa's articles out on there. Now, another question on Barclay Jones, my final question about you and the company. I get the Jones bit. Where's the Barclay?
The Barclay is the significant other, or in some parts of the world, a.k.a. husband. I started working with Wayne Barclay in 2002. I was the IT director of this firm and he was my IT manager. Sordid.
Office romances.
And we parted company from a professional perspective in 2006. We went our separate ways and became IT directors of other firms, other recruitment firms. And then he joined me in 2009 after I started up, imaginatively named Barclay Jones. So he is the other half of the business partnership. We have other members of the team as well, but he's the guy that if you rang me and said, Lisa, we have a CRM system and not getting value from it, or Lisa, we want to upgrade or migrate our systems, or Lisa, help me can you please mentor my IT department to deliver more ROI? Then Wayne Barclay is the guy that we would send in to do that piece of work.
Barclay's your man. Great. Okay.
He is indeed.
Right. So let's tuck into the subject matter today. You mentioned you've got the Recruitment Marketing Academy. So my question, first of all, is what is recruitment marketing? Have you got a definition?
Oh, very briefly, it's the thing by which you sell more. So as a recruitment consultant, you will market your brand, your personal brand, your profile and your sectors to convert, I don't know, in people who are interested in buying something from you or interested in solving a problem maybe.
And why is it important?
I mean, it's absolutely critical because I think at the moment when you look at the average recruiter, certainly in the UK and obviously around the world, we're far too busy selling talent into businesses. Whereas I do think that the new age of recruitment marketing has to be about solving problems within businesses using humans. So absolutely critical right now that recruiters get their head around what marketing is in order that they're not just selling talent from LinkedIn into a company, because that's how most business processes work within recruitment businesses. And that's why so many employers are trying to do a lot of this for themselves, and rightly so. But I think recruitment marketing, whether you're not your employer or a recruitment consultant, is all about, you know, am I a great place to work for, great person to work with, or am I a great recruiter who's going to find me your next ideal role and the one after that and the one after that? So I think, you know, we've got to move away from you've got a CV and you're trying to pitch it to there's a problem within a business and it needs solving with talent, and recruitment marketing is key to that process.
And at what level does recruitment marketing sit? You mentioned that personal branding. Is it from an individual perspective as well as from a brand perspective?
Well, I think if you look at Netflix, for example, the guy that runs Netflix, they're regularly taking images of him with quotes, and therefore he's a very inspiring individual. You know, there's no brilliant jerks that work at Netflix, I think was a big one that ran last year. I even remember the background color because it was like a bright pink and it was like very visual. So that's a piece of recruitment marketing as far as I'm concerned. Right down to if you're working in an employer brand, you're looking at the HR department, and they rarely brand themselves, which I always think is a real shame because they are almost like the mummy and daddy to bring someone in to the bird's nest. But they regularly focus on the brand rather than the individuals. I'm a person looking to work for Netflix. Who's going to be the person to bring me in there? So that's an employer. When you're looking at recruitment consultants, again, they often abdicate or devolve recruitment marketing to said marketer who's responsible for the branded accounts, which I think, again, is a massive mistake. Because ultimately, you know, when I speak to recruitment consultants, that's my main 9-to-5 role. When they've actually had a massive impact on a candidate, and that candidate has remembered them, and a couple of years later has said, you know, I remembered what you did for me. It massively improved my life chances. That's when you see a recruitment consultant's eyes magically light up. That's when they're really proud to do what they do. But the interesting thing is the average recruitment consultant has no strategy to do more of that.
Right, okay. And from an organizational point of view, that one challenge in recruitment is that people, well, it's a revolving door. You can easily go from recruitment company A to B.
Yeah.
So if you get your people to market themselves and become fantastic brands, what's the risk of them going and bringing those candidates and clients with them?
Well, what's the risk of them not doing that and being relatively okay at it and still taking that stuff with them? It's the usual thing of, you know, how much is it going to cost you if you train them, or how much is it going to cost you if you don't train them and they stay? And I think it's the age-old thing, and you're probably going to inspire me to do another blog now. I think, you know, back in the day, God, I've been in tech now from 1872, or actually from 1994. And when websites became a supposedly prevalent and necessary marketing tool for businesses, I came across a lot of businesses who said, if I have a website, my competitors will know what I do. And I said, if you don't have a website, your clients won't know what you do. So from a recruitment marketing perspective, if we say back in the early 2000s when LinkedIn came about, and I was one of those many IT directors who banned it on the server because I didn't want recruitment consultants getting bogged down in social media, and I laugh myself stupid now because I'm a LinkedIn partner just like you are, we look at the fact that we're trying to almost like mothball our recruitment consultants because the brand is more important. And actually, I kind of get that. But if we improve a recruiter's brand so they make more money for us while they work for us, they trust in the brand, they feel like they've got something to gain by wanting to work for a brand as opposed to renting space within a recruitment consultant's business, then I think it's absolutely critical that we let recruiters develop their own profiles, but within the remits of the umbrella or the mothership, whatever you want to call it. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Yeah. So it's not just like a hairdresser renting a chair.
Totally.
There is, I guess, the individual recruiter needs to see the vision and their own trajectory within that organization.
I think if you look at from a very basic perspective, if we're looking at a practical suggestion here, you know, I say to every recruitment consultant I work with, you know, if you don't market yourself, all you're going to do all day is source. That's it. And if all you do all day is source, then you're a sourcer, not a recruitment consultant. And if all you do is source, then actually that's a skill that isn't just transferable from your perspective, but effectively you're transferring it onto your clients, which could be. And I have worked with some corporate entities where the HR department and the recruiters within those departments are pretty fed up that the people in that business that give them the jobs also try and do their own sourcing because they think they know better. And recruitment agencies suffer the same problem every single day. My view is this. I'm a recruitment consultant within, I don't know, veterinary surgery, and I work for a leading veterinary recruitment agency. So it's within my interest and within my boss's interest to let me develop a brand so that I become a magnet, a talent magnet for vets all around the country who trust me, who understand that I may never operate on a cat in my life, but I do empathize with the industry. I empathize with pet euthanasia. I empathize with issues surrounding different drugs and those sorts of things and how, you know, not to dress your animal up in something too warm and leave them in a car kind of thing. So I just think what we need to do is let recruiters build their brand. We need to train them to do that in order that they can make as much money for the mothership as they can while they work in that agency. And also so we can source more effectively. Otherwise, all we do is source all day. Attraction for me is the new cool. We're not doing enough about that as a recruiter or as an HR department with an employer brand.
Yeah, completely agreed. And also I think the sourcing aspect, yes, it might be insourced by corporates, but also I think that's where AI is going to step in as well. Just mixing and matching people, that transactional side of recruitment, that's probably not where the future lies in the profession. All right, so step by step, what's your guide to success in recruitment marketing?
I think obviously we've got to look at two elements to this. There's the brand, which is, you know, I'm Aardvark, ABC business, and I've got to get my brand online so at least there is a home and there is a brand to aspire to work with and for. And obviously marketeers within any given business should be focusing on that. And if you're an employer, please start getting your marketing department to focus employer brand and not just the brand of the things that you sell. Because I often work with businesses who say, well, I'm an HRD or I'm a recruitment manager within said business and my marketing department do nothing for me. They just try and flog the product because that's where the money is. And I kind of respect that, but at the same time, you still need people on the shop floor and that's where the HR and recruitment department come in. When it comes to recruitment agencies, that's when, again, we've got the marketers developing the brand, and rightly so. But what often happens, again, is the practices that are sector-specific and or the sales teams devolve or abdicate marketing back into the marketing department. And that's when you often see very busy brands and very quiet recruiters. So I think from a step-by-step perspective, we need to get the brand up and running first, because then that's something to aspire to and something to inspire recruiters. We need a really effective and practical content plan with themes threaded through that content plan to allow the brand to be known for something, which the marketeer drives, but the recruitment consultants have to have something to do with that. So I was with a company yesterday. I'm going to make up some data to protect the innocent. Let's pretend they're automotive recruiters. And we do these content workshops for recruiters to get them really engaged in not spending all day blogging because they don't make any money from that, but definitely thinking about what they can talk about in sales meetings and how they can inspire marketeers to develop content on their behalf. And when I ask the question, tell me about the awards in your sector, tell me about the events that really turn people on in your sector, blank looks. The recruitment agency world are so busy transacting and, dare I say, sourcing, that they're not spending enough time getting under the skin of their niche. Then they claim to be specialists. But when I say to them, what events are your automotive candidates and clients likely to be at? That's when I get blank looks and that's when they look at the marketing team. So for me, marketeers need to set up the brand and get it working extremely hard, get branding guides, get really decent content plans. And the recruiters on a daily basis, not just Friday at 5 o'clock when they think that's the best time to post, need to be engaging with that content. as well as inspiring marketing to come up with said content. So my name's John, I'm an automotive consultant. I found 5 really cool events for automotive candidates. Marketeer, go away and create me an infographic on that that I can then stick in my LinkedIn publisher and market that extremely effectively under the brand of my automotive company. And to me, that's where it all clicks in really nicely, is regular and practical content-driven marketing from both marketeers and recruitment consultants.
Great. Okay. So give us a pitfall that recruiters must avoid.
Recruitment-led content. Mm-hmm. I call it junk food content. So I've written about this before, back in the annals of, okay, so Jorgen, you're out on a Friday night, you've had a few too many drinks, and then you get the munchies. What is it you're likely to want to buy for yourself that's really bad?
A falafel?
That's just not bad. Come on, promote yourself to a kebab or something like that. Really do the dirty.
I don't eat meat, so falafel is as bad as I go.
That's fair enough. Let's just imagine there's loads of fat dripping from it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you did that every single day, you would not be able to sustain yourself. You'd probably get quite fat and spotty and eventually would have a problem. I look at junk food content as being the same thing. You can have it every now and again, but if you do it too often, it's not going to make you look good. So I go to a recruitment blog and it's all about recruitment. I prefer, said going back to the automotive example, to go to a blog that an automotive recruitment company runs that's about me. I'm an automotive candidate. These are the challenges that I face. This is what makes me laugh. These are the TV programs I'm likely to watch. These are the things that stress me out. These are the things that I'd love if they were fixed within 2017 within my industry. These are the top things that have happened in my industry in the last 20 years. This is another candidate just like me that's got into the industry. And these are the typical kinds of questions maybe that you're asking me right now. I mean, why aren't recruiters creating more podcasts? You know, you've not had to go to the moon with a satellite to create this thing. You've dropped me an email. We've gone onto Skype. And I don't want to make our job look too easy, but you've come up with some very intelligent questions and you've hopefully got someone relatively intelligent answering them. But as recruiters, we seem to think it's all about us. And that is the biggest pitfall. And I'm not convinced that you're going to get a date from your ideal hot date by talking about yourself all day long. And I call that junk food because it's not self-sustaining.
Yeah. Okay. Great. That's agreed. If we look at the tech stack, so this is close to your heart, I'm sure. What technology should recruiters be using, especially on the marketing side?
Especially on the marketing side, this is going to genuinely the ultimate tech that recruiters should be using on the marketing side. And bear with me, because this is a slightly long answer, and I apologize. Is ultimately your recruitment CRM. Mm-hmm. We don't use it enough. We've done lots of studies with our clients in the last 2 years, which tell us the following, and this is terrifying, that 80% of the placements made by recruitment consultants in the UK in the last 2 years were made with candidates that were already on their internal systems. So why are we spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on job boards? Why are we spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on LinkedIn? Why are we spending hundreds of thousands of pounds sourcing, spending days sourcing talent that was on our original CRM? I tell you why we're doing that, because we're dumping them on our CRM 2 or 3 years ago and then not doing anything to market to them, not doing anything to keep them warm, not creating any content about them to keep them looking back. And also, we've not made enough demands of the recruitment tech space to allow our CRMs to be really effective candidate nurturers. I mean, I've done lots of studies of recruitment CRM, especially in the UK, and very few of them will allow me to keep talent warm unless I sit there almost like on a bike pedaling all day, you know, in order to make the bloody generator work. So I think the tech market needs to step up to the plate. I'm not saying that we shouldn't spend money on job boards, because you do need a journey for candidates to go on. It does begin with adverts often. It does begin with great content. And I do believe LinkedIn Recruiter is a great bit of tech, because, again, it allows me to take candidates on a journey, but the destination has to be the recruitment CRM. And that goes back to the pitfall. Often the pitfall is we spend all day searching for people that we have neglected to stay current with, but got in touch with us 2 or 3 years ago. And it costs us a fortune in the UK to make a placement. It costs us so much that the average recruiter dare not tell me how much they spend making a placement. You can tell how passionate I am about this. I'll calm down now.
So have you been able to put a monetary value on the work that goes into a placement?
No, because nobody can actually measure it right now. I mean, if you've got data, please share it with me. But certainly when we speak to recruiters, they are not graded on how much money it costs to make a placement. We might, as marketeers, look at the average value of a CV on a job board. We don't ask our resources to log their time against particular assignments, which, again, I don't get, because there's lots of free software out there that I think resources could use to state, this is how long it took me to find candidates. And that, in the very least, means that we could then start paying resources more effectively in commission-based structures, as opposed to saying, you're a resourcer, which means you're a wannabe recruiter. I mean, if I owned a recruitment business, I'd probably pay resources the same money as a recruiter, but I'd just commission them slightly differently. But I do think that we don't use our CRM effectively. I don't think we, you know, I'm still working with recruiters who don't know how to schedule content. I'm still working with recruiters who don't know how to find content. They assume that content is a complicated matter. Well, and then they'll tell me that they're on the train for half an hour every morning reading the paper. And I'm like, well, you know, you've got this stuff in front of you all day.
So, give us the preferred tools for finding content and scheduling content.
I think Feedly is a fantastic piece of content. I think Buffer is a fantastic scheduling tool. You've got the usual suspects like Hootsuite. You've got things like Flip on your mobile phone, depending on whether or not you use Android or iPhone. There's lots of different things that you can use. I think ultimately, I mean, I'm a massive fan of the Guardian app because it lets me know when, you know, over Christmas, I dare not open the thing because everyone seemed to be dying day after day.
Yeah, I know the feeling, yeah. That's Twitter for you as well, yeah.
Exactly. But I, you know, we have written, and I think actually you lovely people at Undercover Recruiter published it. We wrote a blog about feeder platforms. So Twitter is a feeder platform. Pinterest is a feeder platform. YouTube, LinkedIn Pulse. These are things that feed you content, and you can literally spend 5 minutes a day turning them all on, a bit like having like a 3 or 4 screens in a newsroom and just saying, right, I'll have that. And, you know, I was with a recruitment consultant yesterday. I said, well, I don't have time to read all this stuff. I said, well, neither do I, but I'm still known for sharing great content. So what I do is I find it from reputable sources. I'm assuming if it's the Guardian or the Times or Wired or Recruitment Weekly or whatever it's going to be, I'm assuming there's no boobs or any swear words in it or anything like that. I'm assuming it's intelligent. I might look at who the author is and I'll recognize them. And then I'll send it out and say, I think some doctors in my network might like this, or I think some recruitment consultants in my network might like this. But I just don't, I think that recruitment consultants think marketing is complicated, but ultimately it's nothing more than opening your mouth and stating an opinion or asking for other people's opinions if they're frightened of maybe getting a bit too political.
Yeah, okay. Right, so give us some examples of brands, people, or organizations that inspire you and doing the right things, not necessarily recruitment companies. Mm-hmm.
I am a massive, massive podcast fan. And I'm not saying that because I happen to be on one, but I've written blogs about this for years and years ago because I'm a big fan of, you know, I had a client yesterday who's a global head of marketing who was stuck in a traffic jam for 3 hours. And I said, what did you listen to? And bless him, he listened to the radio. And I was like, and I didn't say this to him. And if he's listening, this is not meant to offend. But that to me is 3 hours of wasted time when you can listen to podcasts, for example. And I'm a big fan of, if there are recruiters listening to this, they're going to want to hear recruitment-led content. Otherwise, it's like, oh, she's using an example that's not related to recruitment because there is nothing related to recruitment. There actually is, but just bear with me. I absolutely love the Kermode Mayo podcast that happens every Friday, and it's about movies. I love the way they do it. I love the way they interact, and I love how they've engaged with other platforms, even Snapchat, to bring their communities together. And I religiously listen to that. And the reason I love podcasts is that because I can listen to them in traffic jams, in bed, going for a run, doing the cooking. It's pretty much engaging no matter where I am. There's also a really good podcast called WTF with Mark Maron, who basically speaks to people within culture. And one of his ones, which was massively engaging, was with Barack Obama. So that gives you an idea about where we come from. If I'm also honest as well, and I don't mean to sound too liberal, but I'm a bit of a Desert Island Discs fan. And when you get people like, I don't know, oh God, my brain's gone now, but fairly relevant people like, I don't know, Bruce Springsteen and Davina McCall and Nicola Adams and Yota Motolenghi talking about stuff, you know, you can listen to stuff like that. But going back to more recruitment-led content, I am a fan of the Undercover Recruiter, and I'm not saying that for effect. I wouldn't put my content somewhere that I didn't trust to market it effectively. I think when it comes to really good content platforms, I'm a massive fan of the UK Recruiter blog as well as Recruiter, because Recruiter tend to do stuff across various platforms. I'm a big fan of LinkedIn groups, as much as people tend to kind of like poo-poo them. I think you've got to put in what you get, what you want to get out. And obviously, I would speak very kindly of the Barclay Jones platforms, because we have a really good YouTube channel. We love our Instagram as well, because we have a bit of a giggle with that. And I'd like to think our LinkedIn company page, etc., is pretty engaging.
And I think you've got a podcast as well. You're definitely on SoundCloud.
We actually have. Well done for reminding me of that. We've got a Recruitment Leaders podcast, where we regularly get recruitment leaders around the world, be they Greg Savage or senior marketing people within big recruitment firms, talking about the recruitment space. Maybe I'll have to get you on it one day.
Yes, absolutely. Look forward to that. Right, now it's time for some buzzword bingo. What's the next big thing in the recruitment marketing space?
Recruitment marketing space. Next big thing.
Don't mention AI.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I think for me, it's not the next big thing per se, but I think the next big thing that recruiters need to start doing is getting recruiters more in contact with content. But when I say that, we're doing a load of content right now, Jorgen, around what to stop within 2017. And I've got a webinar happening very soon around what to stop with marketing in 2017. But I did a webinar back in October about what to stop with your recruitment technology and just what recruitment leaders need to stop per se. And the one thing, and I'm sorry if this could be an interesting debate, the one thing I think we need to stop doing just generally is asking recruiters to blog now. Mm-hmm. In brackets, unless they're bloody good and really quick. Because when I speak to recruitment leaders and they say to me, yeah, I've got a blog, and I read it and I go, yeah, it's pants. How long did that take? He goes, oh, it takes a recruiter about 3 or 4 hours to write a blog every month. And I'm like, how much money could they have made in that time? Seriously, I don't want to be on your side. Can we pull them out of this? Can they please let us know what they want to write about, and we'll get some copywriters in, and or your marketeers should be able to string a sentence together, and or why the hell is it taking 3 to 4 hours? Would it take that much time for a recruitment consultant to get that content across verbally to a client? Let's hope not. So I'm a big fan of what the next big thing is to get recruiters back at their desks, understanding how to market using the phone, understanding how to come up with sound bites really, really quickly, and also for marketeers to get really thematic with their content. So rather than just creating a content plan littered with stuff, it's almost like Space Invaders, bang, 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 bang. Think, actually, what's that mothership at the top firing out all those little bloody monkey Space Invaders? I need to attack that. That's where the money is. What do I need to be known for? And that for me is, if I could work with all of the marketeers that I want to work with this year, it would be, let's just step back from what we're trying to do. Let's imagine we've got a theme. So our next big theme after we think stop talking about stop is contract. So how can we work with contract recruiters to be more effective? Are we going to have a podcast, an infographic, a blog, a video, making sure we've got content around all of those different platforms. And that for me is a big thing for 2017. So I don't know if that helps at all.
Absolutely. Okay, that's great. Yeah, and I think we've discussed this before, that not everyone is either a good writer or a quick writer. Some people might be better off just being interviewed or being on video, or perhaps they shouldn't even create content in the first place. It's interesting. I did speak to Hayes the other week on this podcast, yeah. And they have about 100 recruiters in the UK who blog regularly on their site and also on LinkedIn. Mm. So they've taken very much a content production approach from their own people. Seems to be working. But,
and I must, and I think if it works and if it's good content, it's not junk food content, and it is, it does deliver ROI. And I think the problem is, a lot of the time when we look at recruiter blogs, we don't know, you and I, unless we're working within that business, how many leads that blog generated, how many hits to the recruiter profile it generated, what it actually did for the business. And more importantly, we don't know whether or not those recruiters had a gun to their head in order to create that content. Because I do work with recruiters who often have been forced to do it.
Yeah.
And so I look at all of this, and when I work with recruitment leaders and they say, oh, so-and-so's got a blog and I want to be just like that. And I'll go, well, I'll look at that. I go, yeah, but it's pants. You don't want to be like that. So I think often I the end doesn't justify the means with me. The goal is never to create content. The goal is to make money. Sorry.
Yeah.
The goal is to place a candidate within a business and solve a problem. And the content is a tactic, not a strategy, and definitely not a goal. So to me, I think recruiters need to create content, but it could be a 2-minute conversation with a marketeer to inspire that content, as opposed to a 3-hour bleeding over your keyboard, lack of ROI led content strategy, and it's more of, it's part of my KPI, so I've got to do it. And I'm not suggesting that Hayes falls into that category, but you'd be surprised how many recruitment consultants think they've got it nailed, but don't ask the question, what's in it for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a real shame. And I that's what I think needs to change. If they can do it quick and they make the money from it, then absolutely we need to bottle that. That's brilliant.
Mm. Great. Okay. Thank you so much for that. So now finally, where do you want to send our listeners? Where can they learn more about you, Barclay Jones, and where can they connect with yourself?
Okay. So from a personal perspective, and I say personal, but you know, I don't really do much personal online because I'm a big sort of recruitment advocate anyway, but I'm Lisa Mary Jones without an E. So Lisa M-A-R-I Jones, and we're Barclay _ Jones on Twitter. Please come to the Barclay Jones website, barclayjones.com. And on there, you'll see a number of pretty links running across the top, which involves our podcast on SoundCloud, our YouTube channel, Instagram, and all that lovely stuff. And we obviously have a newsletter as well, which you can sign up to when you come onto the website.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, so much for your time, Lisa Jones.
No problem at all. Take care.
Okay, I hope you got a lot out of that interview with Lisa. If you'd like to read the accompanying article, have a look at linkhumans.com/podcast. You can find all the show notes articles right there. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast as well. It's on iTunes and Android and other places, SoundCloud, of course. And also, if you want to get in touch with me, feel free to ping me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. Okay, so that's me signing off from Camden High Street. Have a lovely week and look forward to catching up with you next week. Hej då!
Jorgen, how many recruiters does it take to change a light bulb?
No idea.
Stop getting distracted and get on the phone.